wondering how to get WPFW swag in your life? Items that say, I support jazz and justice without saying a word. We've got you covered. Details and browsing at WPFWFM.org. Again, that's WPFWFM.org.
Hi, I'm Danny Glover, and you are tuned into WPFW Washington, your station for jazz and justice.
Good evening. It's just about 6 p.m. in the nation's capital. The name of the show is News Views. My name is Garland Nixon. I'm on every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. I want to thank my main man, Kalia. He is the guy who's answering the phones and doing all the hard work here to bring this show to you. This is 89.3 FM, your Pacifica affiliate in Washington, D.C., and I hope you enjoy it. You can go to WPFWFM.org, that's WPFWFM.org, find out all the stuff that we have on there. There's a donate button. You can donate. Always good to donate, help you to keep the station going. And, of course, we have an archive there where you can go to WPFW. In fact, I'm going to open it right now. So I can tell you, if you want to watch or listen to yesterday's show or anybody, my show, whoever, you just go right there and you hit archived shows. And then you can just go right down and look up whatever show you want. If you miss a show, you can listen to yesterday's show. You can download it. It's fantastic. So WPFWFM.org. Go there every now and then just so you can see what's going on. You can see the current show. You can listen live. You name it. It's great. All right. Plenty to talk about. As usual, the number is 202-588-0893. A couple things going on these days. One, let's see. There was a big blowout today. Apparently, Volodymyr Zelensky came to the White House and got in a big argument with the Trump team. Certainly, we can talk about that. I got a whole lot to say about that. Well, meanwhile, what I'm going to start off with is something that's near and dear to all of our hearts. We all have some of us, some people who listen, some of their friends or federal employees and are dealing with these firings and all. So let me talk about that a little bit and give you my, shall we say, my conspiracy theories. You know, there's nothing wrong with having a theory of conspiracies. People are like, conspiracy theories are bad. I was an investigator, you know. That's pretty much the definition of investigating. You know, you're always investigating. You have a theory, and there actually are conspiracies. So a conspiracy theory is not a bad thing. It's people trying to figure out what's going on in the world, trying to put patterns together. So let's talk about that. One of the things I have to say about that is this. As you know, I hate both parties. Not going along with any of them. I think they're both terrible. So let me start. I'm going to talk a bit about things that I've said about what's going on with the whole Elon Musk thing. And that is, the MAGA movement got kind of interestingly had. So the MAGA movement, you know, it's okay, America first, and Trump, I've heard this term, he's the blue-collar billionaire, things of that nature, right? You got to be had if you think there's such thing as a blue collar billionaire. But at any rate, but a couple months before the election, in comes Elon Musk, the richest man in the world. And, you know, being the pessimistic guy that I am, I'm just like, you really think that some richest man in the world billionaire is going to lead your movement to help the working class? That ain't gonna happen. So he comes in and he's doing the libertarian thing, right? The libertarian ideology is big government is bad and smaller government is good. And therefore, if you get rid, and they can't ever really figure out if it's literally or metaphorically, because they're like, big government is bad and a smaller, literally smaller government, meaning less people that work there, that's a good thing. And it's an ideology. There's no evidence to prove that that's true. And it doesn't even mean anything. I was once having a discussion with a libertarian guy, and he says, yes, smaller government's better. I said, okay, I'm a real left-leaning guy, and you're a libertarian. I said, okay, so you say smaller government's better, and meaning less government. Okay, how about this? Let's just say, for example, there's 100,000 people in the government, and we drop it to 50,000, but I get to pick the 50. And so we got a government staff the size, but they all agree with my ideology, not yours. Would that be better? He's like, no. I said, but you'd have smaller government. It would just be a smaller government that agreed with me. And I just told him, so in reality, it's not the size of government that you have a problem with. It's the ideology. You're confused. You're actually saying smaller government in a metaphorical way, and you mean it in a literal way. You mean a less intrusive government. But even there's a severe ideological contradiction there for this reason. Smaller government, right? Libertarians, less government laws and less regulations. Okay, so you're a libertarian and you say we need less regulations. Let's start here. How do we get a corporation? Government regulations and laws. The government creates a corporation. A corporation only exists because of government laws and regulations that say they can be corporations. And then what does the corporation do? It limits the liability of the corporate officers, the people who LLC, limited liability corporation. The fact that there's a corporation limits the liability of the people who own the corporation for the actions of the corporation, number one. What else does a corporation do? Using government laws and regulations, the government then protects the corporation. If the corporation invents something, they get a government patent on it. And then if somebody imitates what they did, they say, hey, I've got a patent on that project. They go to the, on that product, they go to the, take this person to a government court, they sue the person and the government protects them. So a government creates the corporation. A government protects the office of the corporation from liability through their legislations and regulations. A government protects the products of the corporation through patents and copyrights and things like that. So a government creates the corporations, protects the corporation, corporate officers from liability, protects the corporation's products and words and things through copyright and patent. And after the government does all that to create a wonderful world for a corporation that the government created, then you have the nerve to say, we don't want governments getting in the way of corporations. So the government can only work for the corporation. The government can't work to limit the corporation's ability to poison my waters. The government's the corporation can then create a harmful product that kills me, but I can't sue them because we got rid of all our regulations. The contradiction is that it's a self-serving racket. It's a racket that says the government creates a wonderful, wonderful environment for a corporation. And then after it creates the wonderful environment for the corporation, there should be no regulations to limit the corporation in what it can do. It's a self-serving racket where nobody is there to protect the customer. Nobody there, the consumer, who buys the products or services of the corporations, because that would be government regulation, wouldn't it? Nobody's there to protect the environment from the corporation pouring methyl ethyl horrible into the river, because that would be bad regulations. Nobody's there to protect the workers at the corporation's factories from cutting their hands off or getting poisoned from dangerous things, because that would be dangerous corporate regulations. It's a self-serving racket. Libertarians' concept of a corporation that's created by the government, but then the government can't protect us from the corporation, is a self-serving racket for the corporations. Let me continue. So Elon Musk now says, well, you know what we've got to do? We've got to cut government. There's too many employees working for the government. There's money wasted for the government. Wait a minute, dude. You're getting billions of dollars in contracts for SpaceX. And what do they do? What is it? Well, guess what they've done? I saw this the other day. SpaceX sent a missile up in the air, and then it came back down and landed nicely. And I'm like, Sir Isaac Newton figured that out a long time ago. Anything that goes up is going to come down. So SpaceX has billions of dollars of contract to send a missile up, and then the missile comes back down. Wow, that's amazing. All of those billions of dollars to figure out that if you jump off a building, you'll never go up. But we can't afford for government employees to make a decent salary, to get to be able to pay for their homes, raise their kids, to have health care coverage, to have a decent retirement. We can't afford that, but you can take billions of dollars. Look at Jeff Bezos, billions of dollars for Amazon storing information for the government. If you look at these very people that are arguing we've got to lay off government employees because they're wasting money, why is it that all of them got multi-billions of dollars of contracts with the government? It's a self-serving record. That's the way it works. And all of these billionaires. So let me go on. What their plans are. This is my opinion. You can agree with it or disagree with it. I've talked about it before. They're going to replace it all with AI. See, people are like, this is Trump. This ain't Trump. This was the plan all along. When they got AI to the point where they got it, which is not really artificial intelligence, it's just predictive programming. It's programming that can react to things. It's not really intelligence. But when they get this AI to the point, which they have, where they feel that AI can do all of these things, they always planned on it. They're going to get rid of the government employees, and they're going to replace them with artificial intelligence programs. And who's going to get the contract for that AI? You think it's going to be Apple, Tim Cook? You think it's going to be Bezos? You think it's going to be Elon Musk? Those very same moguls, those very same tech barons who got all these government contracts now are going to get rid of the government employees, and they're going to come in and get the government contracts so they can run the government. And guess what? Those AI contracts will cost five times what it costs to pay a government employees. You see, you can say what you want about, oh, what's wrong with all these government employees? Well, wait a minute. First of all, in this capitalist system we have, it's the last decent jobs. Where else? Used to be jobs everywhere. You could get a job, you had retirement, you had benefits, you had a decent pay. Where else are you going to get that now than the government? But the last few places where a working class person can get some decent pay, can get some benefits, can get a retirement, the last stinking place that a working class person to go to have a decent life in the future, they're going to snatch the rug out of it from under us on that too. That's what we get. That's the way it works. And believe you me, if you don't understand that it didn't matter, this was coming. This was coming. AI was coming. And let me tell you something that I believe. You may disagree with it, but I believe this is what's coming. It's got to come. Eventually, you've heard this term, universal basic income. We got to start. And sadly, it's the left that's out there yelling for universal basic income. So what does that mean? That means that every month the government gives you, let's say, X amount of dollars, $3,000-$4,000, whatever, a basic income, just enough to be poor. So that way, when you go out and you work, the only job you can find is at the mini mart for $7.25 an hour. So they're going to give you just enough to barely scrape along at a universal basic income, and then you can go work at the mini mart for Corporation X and make next to nothing, and everything else is run by by AI. But here's the thing. Don't think that a universal basic income, which might I add one other thing. If they're giving you a universal basic income, right, it is an admission that our capitalist society can no longer create the jobs that people need to feed their families. It is the definition of economic failure. It means we have an economy that can't create decent jobs anymore, that everything goes to the rich. And so now the only reason they can stop you from storming the gates and from lynching them all is to give you a few dollars. And trust me, this, it ain't going to be for free. If they give you that, okay, guess what? You get $3,000 a month in universal basic income. You know what they'll say now? Should you post something that they don't like online? Should you do something that they don't like? You might not get that amount this month. It may drop down to 2,500. They will use it. They will give you a UBI and use it to control you. You'll only get but so much. And then the app, guess what you get? You get an app on your phone, your UBI app. And every month you get $3,000. Now, think about this. If the government gave you a universal basic income of $3,000 a month, just as an example, $4,000 a month, whatever, the first part of it goes for your rent right back to the billionaires. The second part of it, well, I got to pay cable, right back to the billionaires. Third part of it, well, I got to pay for my cell phone, right back to the billionaires. They're going to give you a so-called universal basic income, and you're going to have to use it to give it right back to them. You ain't really getting no money if they give you a universal basic income. You will get it, and you'll pay bills right back to the billionaires who are taking everything else anyway. That's where we're going. Mark my word, at some point, universal basic income comes. Unless, of course, you do something that they don't like, then they might have to cut it back. Anyway, that's where we're going. 202. You excuse me, I had to sneeze. 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. We got plenty to talk about. I got more to say. All right, we got foreign policy. We got the big blowout in the Oval Office today. Oh, I got plenty to say about that. All right, first caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is T. Berry from Upper Marlboro, Maryland. How you doing?
What's happening, T. Berry?
A whole lot. I think I agree with much of what you're saying. I think they're talking about bureaucracy now within the government. But this has been the case. The rich people under Reagan sent the jobs out to Germany. Not Germany, to Japan.
China and all over the place. Bangladesh, anywhere they could get cheap labor.
Yep, that's definitely the case. And the manufacturing and the other things, and life became a little bit easier here in this country. So they continued their pattern of immigrants, welcoming immigrants. They lie about it. For example, the Statue of Liberty was supposed to be something showing the freedom of slaves, but they chopped the chains off of it and kept it, and they talked about it being in terms of immigrants. But the billionaires who really run the world, and they're trying to run the world in a racist way, I think, are the big problems. They have to get us to fight each other. They have to get the immigrants and they have to get us to fight against immigrants and say they're the reason why the jobs are scarce here. They have to get white people to fight against blacks and talk about DEI, even though people are much more qualified now than they ever were. In the 50s, when my father used to say, oh, damn immigrants, they just got off the boat and they got the damn job and blah, 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 blah. But they have people fighting against each other, and they're going to limit the population. Maybe they're trying to limit it that way. When they talk about bureaucracy, I was doing a little bit of research, and the most bureaucratic country in the world is China. And China has already passed us, if you ask me. They have flying cars.
Yep.
If you investigate a little bit, they're exploring Mars. When they wouldn't let them on the spaceship that the United States put and Russia put up, they put up their own little space station, not as deep, but something. They are passing us economically in every other way, and they're doing it with a bureaucracy that you would not believe. You will not find Chinese people being poisoned or anything else, because they kill the people.
What's interesting about China? You know, Americans are like, oh, China's don't have rights to this and that, blah, blah, blah. American polls say 90% of Chinese people approve of their government. I don't care what Americans say about the Chinese people. Chinese people are very happy with their government, but they're happy because they got jobs. What is it, 85% or 90% of Chinese people own their homes? The Chinese, their economy is growing. They got free college. They're graduating people from college. Things are getting better. The place is looking magnificent. Everything's brand new. Things are so Americans. This place is falling apart. It looks like a dump. Our economy's crashing. We're at war with every stinking body in the world. And the people in China are happy. But and we're trying to act like we got a right to tell the Chinese how to live and how to change their government, and they're laughing at us.
Maybe they're happy because they got a bureaucratic government that cares about the people rather than billionaires who don't, who are running the place. Billionaires can get but so high in China. They can get crazy high in, with money in the United States, and so crazy high with money that we get candidates like the last two who don't represent anybody. Except for the billionaires. So we really have only one party, if you ask me, and that's the billionaire party. And if you look closely, you'll find they gave to both the Democrats and the others.
Always.
They have this clown in, and we'll see how it goes. But, he'll do some things, and they'll say, that's horrible. So let's go back to the other thing. But people had better realize that it's the billionaire party and that we better start getting some other labor parties or some other parties based on ethnic groups or some other issues or something, because the people running the country in the United States right now are really running it into the ground. And I hope it improves, but I may be out of the country soon.
Yeah, it don't look like it that way. It's been going down for a long time. They just keep them fighting. The Democrats are better. No, the Republicans are better. And no matter what, every 4 or 8 years, we argue it out and we go down and the rich get richer and everybody else gets poor. Thanks very much, T-Barry, from good old Charles County. 202-588-0893. Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hello?
Yes, you are on the air, son. What's happening?
I have... I have two things. First of all, what you said about the corporations is true, but most people don't understand that in the beginning of this country, and the reason why corporations are incorporated in different states is because at the time there wasn't a federal government. But in most states, and particularly in Virginia, corporations could only be formed for the public good, and they had expiration dates. So in other words, a state needed to build schools, roadworks, hospitals, so a corporation could be formed for that purpose and that purpose alone. After the end of the given expiration date for that corporation, it ceased to exist. Then they gamed the system to allow to have basically perpetual license and didn't have to go back to expire. But that's on a state-by-state basis. So the thing that people should fight for, and everything is what people should fight for, you have to have a vision of what your world should look like. If we're going to have corporations, they should be federally licensed and come under the purview of the federal government because of all these different national federal benefits that you just alluded to. And that's something we should fight for. But the other thing, so that's the one thing around that a potential mitigating thing is that people need to fight for federal licensing of corporations, especially international corporations. The second thing I just wanted to say is you have an overly apocalyptic view of the American people and of the power of the rich. These are individuals who can't do nothing on their own. They can only do something if other people do it for them. I have much more faith in people. I personally am not going to allow them to say you are now a slave and just go meekly into the plantation and fight another brother over who's going to go into the house and who's going to go into the field. There is going to be bloodshed fed, in this country because people, especially these white people who thought that they were not Haitians living in Ohio that he was talking about, they're going to have their John Q. moments when somebody in their family dies because they couldn't get their insulin on a heart disease, and they are going to blow their tea kettles. And that
let me throw one thing before you go. Keep in mind something. As you know, I'm an independent. I'm not a Democrat or a Republican. And I argue this. The working class people got to come together. The working class people got to realize that the billionaires, the wealthy people, and this is not new, they all work together for their own good, for their economic class. But it's always somebody we got to fight. Ooh, the unvaccinated are bad people. The MAGA people versus the non-MAGA people. This group versus that group. The blacks versus the whites. The working class, we're always beating our brains out over something. But you know who's never fighting with each other? The ruling elite, the billionaires. They have little pillow fights and disagreements, but they don't. I believe that we need to come together as a working class to stand for working class values. Before you go, you get the last philosophy. Word. What do you think about that?
You can't come together over philosophy. You come together over saying, okay, I want universal health care. You want everything? Okay, we're going to fight to that. Why do you think sports is such a uniting force throughout the world, right? Because everybody knows the rules of that team. You can be Muslim, you can be whatever, but I'm a Commander fan, I'm a Nats fan, and they would never go to church, they would never go to a bar together, but they unite over that team. We need to propose outcomes, like I just said about the corporation. We need to propose outcomes to say, yeah, I'm for a single payer. I'm for free education. I'm for housing for all. See, if you start to proposing outcomes, this is what Trump basically
did. Let me add this. This is what the unions did. My dad was a member of a union. There was people who had vast disagreements when it came to cultural issues, but they were all longshoremen and they all had the same economic needs. At any rate, I got a couple more callers, but I appreciate the call. That was an excellent call. Thank you very much. All right. The number is 202-588-0893. As always, we got open lines. Next call, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, I'm Keith Garland. I'm calling from Baltimore.
What's happening, Keith? from Baltimore. Man, you know I grew up in the Baltimore area, man. I know Baltimore now. Very
darling,
well.
What my eyes saw this afternoon was in total disbelief. That okay. White House conference, they brought that man all the way over here and beat him up. They beat him up.
Yeah. But to me, the whole thing is a fraud. I mean, the whole thing's a fraud to me, but go ahead.
They got him in that White House. Vance went at him first. I mean, he attacked him. It was so disrespectful. It was so disrespectful to a leader. The way I saw it, they were like chumping him down and just make him look like he wasn't even a leader. And then one reporter had the audacity to ask him, how come you don't wear a suit?
Well, let me ask you this. Now, this is my agreement. I don't think he is a leader. I think he's just a crook anyway. And here's the way I feel. Look, if you make a deal with the devil, brother, sooner or later, the devil is going to come for your soul. I don't know how many movies I've seen where somebody makes a deal with the devil. He is a United States puppet. He needs to look at history. What happens when you become a puppet for the United States and you betray your country? Ask the guy over there in Vietnam in 1963, DM, what happened when he betrayed the Vietnam people on behalf of the United States Empire. This man betrayed his country on behalf of the U.S. Empire, and now he's getting what puppets always get. Ain't no, whether it's Trump, whether it's Biden, whether it's Zelensky, there ain't no good guys here. They're all crooked. So my opinion, do I feel sorry for this man stealing money, filling his pockets, betraying his own country like a traitor? He got what he had coming to him, in my opinion. He's a traitor. Sooner or later, it was going to come. When you are a puppet for the United States Empire throughout the world, sooner or later, this is what you will always get. He had it coming. It was just a matter of when. Anyway, go ahead. Your thoughts.
They taking his land from him.
Who taking his land from him?
Trump, that's the part of that deal he wanted him
he
to sign.
He got no land. The man is a puppet.
They want him to give up those natural resources. It's a part of the plan.
Of course.
And they brought him over
Hold on. Let me say this. When the United States overthrew the government in 2014 of Ukraine, Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden, he goes in there, he signs a deal, he's getting money. Kofor Black, CIA guy, he goes in, he signs a deal, he's on the board of directors with Hunter Biden, he's getting paid. Amos Hochstein, Joe Biden's boy, he goes into, buddy, he signs a deal, he's now the envoy to Israel. He was the envoy to Israel under Biden. He goes, when the United States overthrew the government of Ukraine, all these Americans went in stealing money and they're taking all their money, they're extracting their wealth. Now Trump's like, we're leaving. Oh, by the way, we're going to take some money with us when I left. When Joe Biden went in, when the Biden teams went in, they went in stealing Ukraine's money. Trump is leaving stealing Ukraine's money. The U.S. government's going to do that. They're going to steal. Right now, what's going on in Iraq? Did you know this? Did you know that right now, the country of Iraq, when Iraq sells oil, all the money goes to New York, to the bank. Iraq does not get the money for their own oil today. The United States invaded Iraq in 2003, and the United States is stealing the money from the oil that Iraq sells today. When the United States, the devil owns your country, they're going to rob you. Biden robbed them on the way in. Trump's robbing them on the way out. Nick, go ahead. That's my opinion. Go ahead.
So here's what I see is going down. This deal is played out where, because Putin already told him, say, we're not giving the land that we took, we're not giving it back.
No, they're never getting that back. It's not going to happen.
And then Trump is saying, sign these papers. And let them come in there and take them natural resources. It's like he's caught between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah, but he sold his soul to the devil. He done stole a lot of money himself. Ain't no good guys here. That's what happens when you're in the mafia and you're one of the crooks. Sooner or later, it's your turn. Zelensky is his. I don't feel sorry for Zelensky, all the money he done stole. Come on. It's his turn. He's in the, you do a deal with the devil, man. Don't do a deal with the devil. That's my opinion. Anyway, you get the last word. Go ahead. I don't feel sorry
and
for
then,
him.
And then they made sure they brought in a Russian reporter so that he could, you know, record this whole thing going down and send it back to so Putin could see how it's going down. It was the most interesting dynamic that I've ever seen play out between leaders.
You know, look. So
publicly
here's what I said.
Set him up.
Yeah, he's a puppet. He was going to get it sooner or later. If he didn't get it this week, he was going to get it next week. If he didn't get it this month, he was going to get it next month. His time was coming. So it just came today.
All right, Garland.
All right. Thank you very much. I don't feel sorry for Zelensky. He's not dumb. He knows the game. The man was a comedian on television, and the CIA put him in power in Zelensky. He was never even in power. He does not make any decisions. He's just a U.S. puppet, and he's going to get – perhaps Zelensky should have read history a little bit to understand what happens when you become a puppet for the U.S. At some point, you're of no value anymore. Usually, they put a bullet in you. So far, they haven't. Maybe they won't. Maybe they will. I wouldn't put no money on it, one way or the other. All right, next call. You're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Next call. You're on the air.
What's going on, Garland? It's Max Shamim calling from Maryland.
Talk to me, Max.
Of course. I just disagree with so much, man. Like, I've been doing research on the Russia-Ukraine stuff since we talked last week. I mean, I guess you can say, like, we have an invested involvement in resources and geopolitics, but once again, Viktor Yanukovych, going back to 2014, was a Russian stooge of the Party of Regions that many wealthy Ukrainian pro-Russian oligarchs and Russian oligarchs supported. American lobbyists were working for wealthy Ukrainian Russian oligarchs to help him get elected. After he foregoed the deal to do more economic ties with the West and Europe, well, then there were mass protests. And then Yanukovych had the military.
No, okay, okay. You've made a statement. I'll give you, you've made a statement on that. I'll give you my version of it. My version, I'll give you my version and then you can continue. My version was President Yanukovych sent a request to the Europeans and to the Russians and said, who's going to give me the best economic deal? And he got one from both. And the Russian deal was better. And he said to the Europeans, to the EU, the Russians gave me a better deal. Can you improve your deal? Can you improve what you gave me? And the European Union said not one word. I don't blame him. He just took the better economic deal. All this business about somebody being a Russian stooge is absurd. He took the better economic deal. But here's the thing. The United States overthrew the government of Ukraine. They've even admitted it. The idea that the U.S. didn't overthrow the government of Ukraine in this day and age is laughable. Continue.
I mean, I just disagree. Poroshenko won an election. Zelensky won an election. Yeah, I guess maybe there were politicians who were, once again, aligned with our interests. I'll concede that part to you. But once again, you use your own military to kill your people, and then you flee your country, and then Putin annexes Crimea. Like, that's just laughable. And then he was
Let me ask you a question. You said Putin annexed Crimea. Let me ask you a question. Do you know when the Russians built the base in Crimea? Do you know what year?
You can inform me on that. I don't know.
1781. 1781. Do you really think that the Russians built a base in Crimea in 1781? They occupied that base and took control of it in 1805. And you really think the Russians were going? Let me ask you this. Do you think the U.S. would give up Hawaii where the Fifth Fleet is? Not going to happen. You would get nuked if you tried to take Hawaii and if you tried to take Crimea. It's absurd to think that the Russians been in Crimea since 1781 and that the U.S. would overthrow the government of Ukraine and the Russians would just go, oh, well, I guess you can have our only warm water base. You get nuked if you try to take Crimea and you'll get nuked if you try to take Hawaii. Go ahead.
I mean,
they've been there since 1781, bro. Come on now. Let's be realistic.
I just know that all I know is that it seems for roughly 20 years, you know, after 1994, United States convinced Ukraine to put their nukes down. And we told them that if anything had ever happened in the future again, we would help them. And
Ukraine never had nukes. What are you talking about?
Well, I think it was like we got them to like put their weapons down in 94.
No, the Soviet Union had nuclear weapons and they kept some of them in Ukraine. And when the Soviet Union dissolved, they took the weapons and other countries helped the Soviet Union get some of their nukes out of their various entities that they had. Ukraine never had nukes. The Soviet Union stored nukes in Ukraine.
Okay.
Germany doesn't have nukes right now. The United States has nuclear weapons in Germany. If the U.S. was to say we're not leaving them any there, Germany couldn't say you can't take our nukes. They ain't theirs. They're ours. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. No, thank you for informing on that. Thank you. I guess just to add back on, I would say, too, because I wanted to respond to what you said specifically about Hunter Biden as well. So that whole claim, right, that they were taking bribes to fire Shokin, the FBI guy that said that, he's serving 6 years in jail for defamation. Now he lied. The Republican House Committee spent years, a decade, trying to take Hunter Biden's tax crimes and prove guilt of Joe Biden. They found nothing. Whereas to compare that, once again, Manafort had 18 felony tax crimes, and then he was communicating through lawyers to White House insiders when they were investigating Trump over Russian collusion, and they obstructed that entire investigation. And Roger Stone also was prosecuted for obstructing the investigation, where he said, you think I would rat on the president? You think I would bear false witness on the president?
Well, we got other calls, but I don't understand what you're getting at.
So I'll explain real quick. Biden did not obstruct anything of the witch hunt to impeach him for Ukrainian collusion, and the FBI guy was prosecuted for taking bribes. Trump obstructed that entire investigation and his sycophant crony lawyers who were engaging in felony tax fraud schemes, felonies, not misdemeanors like Hunter Biden, felony tax fraud schemes, working for Russian oligarch Oleg Deprisskia.
Well, we got a couple other calls, but I'm not sure where you're going. But hey, you know what? I appreciate your calling, and look forward to talking to you again next week. All right, we got to go to our next caller. Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Next caller, you are on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
JD from DC.
Talk to me, JD.
Man, that guy right there, man. Wow.
Hey, I don't. He's a historian, I guess. I'm not sure. But at any rate, he feels that stuff is important. So, hey, I'm not going to hurt the guy's feelings. Let him get it out. He needs to get it out. But what are your thoughts, man? What's important to you, my friend?
Hey, bro. If somebody wanted to take Norfolk or San Diego from us,
they're going to get nuked.
They're
going to get nuked.
You're darn right. And then also too, man, I want to let you know too. I love you guys, man. Well, you and Scott, man, you know, do your thing, you know, because I follow you guys and everything else and whatnot. And y'all give real information, you know. And then the thing that you did with the ambassador the other day, man. You know?
Oh yes, Ambassador Polyansky, yes.
And then the other thing that you posted on your platform. With the guy from Spain, man, mind blowing. See, you need to tell people about that so everybody can get a great understanding.
That guy knew his stuff, didn't he? Yes, that guy was incredible. I had to post it. That guy was unbelievable. My people are talking about my YouTube channel, and I put up this post with this ambassador from Spain, and I just watched it. I'm with you. That's mind-blowing.
Because I had been in the military before, and I had a relative that was a lieutenant colonel. He got be a full colonel, you know, and actually got his star before he left for the Pentagon. He taught me so much when I was like 17 years old about how things happen, how things work in the world, because him and my father would talk all the time, you know, and it would be so much, you know, not classified stuff, but just how the world works, you know. And the whole thing about it is, a lot of our people, we don't know how the world works. Once we understand how the world works, we get a better understanding. You know.
Well, you know what I say? Here's what I say. In America, if you don't read and watch the news, you're uninformed. If you do read and watch the news, you're misinformed.
Exactly. It's just like, you know, Cass asked me, like, well, JD, how do you figure out all this stuff? I said, no. Get off. You can't watch this from TV. You have to dig and do your research. And if you don't dig in your research, you will be fooled. You will be fooled about the election. You will be fooled about everything else. You will be fooled about this stuff. And then when you find out, you sit down and you're like, oh, I need a drink. Yes, you will.
Yeah, yes, well, thank you very much. Certainly appreciate the call. I appreciate you checking out my YouTube channel. I put a lot of stuff up there, and I put a lot of energy into it. I really enjoy doing my YouTube channel. So thank you very much for watching. All right, next caller. You're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, I'm Brother Greg, calling from Upper Marlboro, Maryland. How you doing, brother?
I'm just wonderful. Certainly glad to hear from you, Brother Greg. What's up?
And this is my concern, man. I used to work with a lady. She was a computer scientist from Russia. Mm-hmm. So out of curiosity, one day I asked her, I said, well, where do you guys get your technology and your computers and your resources from? And guess what she said?
Where?
She said they get it from America.
Well, that's not true. Well, because if that was true, they wouldn't be so far ahead of us on... on so many, we're falling behind. I don't know how much you know about the Soviet Union and their history of technology, but very, very high tech place. China and Russia are just moving ahead of us. Even Iran, we're getting behind technology, man. We're falling way behind on technology in this world. And they aren't stealing from us. We need to be getting some more from some of these other countries. But anyway, go ahead.
But not militarily. We're still...
way behind military. Are you kidding me? Militarily, behind Russia militarily.
The way Russia moves, okay, I'll put it like this. If you're a historian, so I know you know history. Mm-hmm. So you know that at the corporate level, you know, the big boys, they've always had interlocking relationships and basically done deals like the grain deal. I mean, basically, we were feeding Russia. That's a fact. You know that.
When?
So what I'm saying is that if this is your... Huh?
You mean now?
I know historically we have. Recently.
The number one grain country in the world, the number one grain exports in the world right now is Russia. Number one. It's a gigantic country. It's 12 times the size of... three and a half times the size of the U.S. But right now... Anyway, go ahead. I'm listening. I don't want to over-talk.
No, I'm saying historically, like I said, that we've had all kinds of arrangements with Russia. Anyway, my larger point is that what I see taking place is that a world consolidation of white power, of white supremacy. So, in other words, notice how Trump defers to and has a kind of a cozy relationship with Putin. It's like, you know, at the end of the day, we cousins. Why should we fight when we can join together and run it all? So I don't think it, I think that on a secret or on a hidden level, you know, because you're familiar with documents like Tragedy and Hope and stuff, those types of books, right? It's always been a secret relationship amongst the world rulers.
Well, I feel like this. I feel like the United States, there's three great powers. In this world, there's three great powers. There's Russia, there's China, and the United States. And everybody else is it's behind that. Those are the three world powers, Russia, the China, the United States. I believe the three world powers should get along very, very well. I believe that's the safest thing for us all so we don't get nuked. So in my opinion, the U.S. and Russia and China should always have good strong diplomatic relationships and should have good or strong economic relationships. I think that's the safest thing for us because I don't want to get in a nuclear war. What do you think of that?
No, that's logic. That's common sense. And that's what I'm saying. That's the logical conclusion that they have come to is like, okay, we're not going to blow up the whole world when we can just run the world if they join forces collectively. So I just think that they have shared interests. I think that we're headed, America, it's always been in the cards for us to become a dictatorship anyway. If you want to establish globalism or the one world government that they've been talking about for like the last, 50, 100 years?
So, well, Nadine, let me ask you this. I feel like we've always been an oligarchy. I feel like America has always been an oligarchy masquerading as a democrat, a democracy, that they want us to believe it's a democracy. But you know, ultimately, they always give you the choices that, like, if I give you two choices to choose from and the billionaires pick both choices, you don't really have choices when it comes down to it. For instance, some rich person will say, well, there's a Democrat and a Republican running in this district. I'll give half, $500,000 to the Democrat, $500,000 to the Republican. Whoever wins, I win. Well, that's the game. And we don't really get any say, because whoever gets in office, they always do the bidding of the wealthy. They do tax cuts for the rich. They argue about it a little bit, but the rich always get everything and we always get the shaft. And our standards of life have been deteriorating for the last 30 years. I don't care who's in office. Go ahead.
I agree with you 100%. I think that that's what they call the Hegelian dialectic, where they both play one good cop, bad cop, with this country and really with the world. So
yeah, but here's the thing about it. They're always going to give us a boogeyman for us to be mad at. It's Saddam Hussein's coming to get us. The leader of Libya, Gaddafi, or the leader of North Korea, or President Putin, or the leader of China, or the immigrants, while they're coming to get, it's always somebody outside of America that we're supposed to, the terrorists, they're going to get us from the Middle East. They always give us somebody to be frightened of, mad of, and to blame for our troubles, other than the billionaires right here in America. The people that are right in front of our face have been oppressing us the whole time, but they always got somebody else for us to blame it on.
I agree. You remember you mentioned Vietnam earlier, right? Mm-hmm. And what was the false flag operation that gave us
Tonkin, whatever, the Gulf of Tonkin incident, I think it was. Every war is a false flag. Every war that we get into, it, we are taken into by a lie. And no matter what lie happens, the Americans are like, well, this time I think they're telling us the truth. They're never telling us the truth. Ever, right. Ever. People are like, but Ukraine are telling us. No, they're not. Afghanistan, I think they're telling us. They didn't tell you the truth about Afghanistan. They didn't tell you the truth about Ukraine, and they won't tell you the truth about the next war, because everyone is based on a lie.
Well, the last thing I'll say, Brother Garland, is this is how they tell the truth, though. If you watch a movie like The Good Shepherd with Matt Damon in it, they talk about the beginnings of the intelligence community, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they were having meetings, and of course, in their little secret society clubs and stuff like that, Skull and Bones or what have you. And basically, they're telling you, if you watch that film, they're telling you that the super rich joined forces so that, again, that they could control the world. They could basically access Latin America and get their resources.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Alan Dulles and the Dulles boys, who they work for. They work for this company called Sullivan and something. Bottom line, they represented the United Fruit Company, which ended up being Dole or Chiquito or one of those, so they could rob and rape South America for their bananas. The CIA and the intelligence community has always been operations to go around for to overthrow governments so Exxon and Shell could get their oil, overthrow governments so we should get their bananas. The intelligence community has always operated in on behalf of the corporations.
I promise this is the last one.
Okay.
Movie Network, right? You've seen the movie before, right?
Network? No, I haven't seen it, but I probably should. But go ahead. You get the last
word. With Faye Dunaway and William Holden. In that movie, there's a character named Ned Beatty who breaks down the whole scam. He said, there's no longer no U.S. There's no longer, you know, this country, that country. He said, it's only Exxon. It's only this.
How about that? All right, I got another caller I want to take. Thanks, man. Great call. Certainly appreciate it, everybody. All right. Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Dave Kensington.
Talk to me.
Hey, I was actually going to ask you about Tulsi Gabbard and the Senate hearing, but we got such a good thread going on. But I'd say you missed a superpower, because Saudi Arabia, even though they're kind of a puppet of the United States, considering
how created Saudi Arabia by the British and all that, the House of Saud. Yep, created by the British Empire.
But they got the oil and the paraffin. But meanwhile, you know, like, climate change is a real thing. And what that gives Russia is a lot more land and access to natural gas, because that's what happens when that permafrost melts. But meanwhile, when the permafrost melts here, our government comes out with a H1N1 vaccine.
Did you know this about Saudi Arabia? Let me ask you this about Saudi Arabia. The largest company in the world is, of course, Saudi Aramco, the Saudi Arabian oil company, right? The CEO of Saudi Aramco, Aramco, the Saudi oil company, is now on the board of BlackRock. BlackRock put them on their board of directors.
Imagine
so,
that.
You know, it all comes together, brother. It always all comes
full
together.
Circle. Like that. And I talk about the arms race, but, you know, you got such a good thread. I hope you got another caller. Either that, you do your thing, man.
All right. Thanks a lot. Appreciate the call. We got any more callers?
Uhuru Sasa.
All right. All right. Thank you very much. Yeah. So we're getting out. So the bottom line is this. They're going to keep us fighting amongst each other. That we all, they all, in the same way here, you know, I feel like the presidents here, I don't feel like they got as much power as people think they do. I feel like the decisions are made at a higher level. I feel like, but let me give you an example. It is now, this has been a proven fact. When Barack Obama became president, he got an email from Citibank with a bunch of names in it for his cabinet, and all of them were put in his cabinet. You know, Barack Obama, you know, when I look at Barack Obama, I was a big Obama fan and all that kind of stuff. But afterwards, when he left, I thought, you know what, Barack Obama, and when he left, here's what I could say. Well, he was a good looking black guy and he had a beautiful family and he was brilliant and all those kind of things. But what is his legacy of what he really did to help black folks? I don't see it. I don't see it. Did our lives improve? What did he do? He bailed out the banks. He had an opportunity when he was in there, right? All of these people were underwater with bad mortgages for the banks. And he could have taken the money. Think about this. Think about this. All of these bad mortgages, 5.7 million families with bad mortgages from these banks, right? He could have taken that money and said, here's what I'm going to do. All of these people that are going to get thrown out, I'm going to give them the money, pay their mortgages off. They would all had their homes, and then the money would have went to the banks. The banks would have got the money. The people would have owned the homes, and 5.7 million families that ended up getting evicted and losing their homes would have still been in there. How wonderful is that? That's what I would have got, but he didn't do it. He just took the money and gave it to the banks. So the banks got the money for the homes, and then the banks evicted the people and took the homes and sold them a second time. And guess what they did? They then put that on their sheets, as on their ledgers, as making a profit. And you know what they said? Well, that goes to the gross domestic product, all of these of the country. All of these banks have made lots and lots of money. Look at that. We're having an economic comeback. Profits are up. So he paid the banks for the houses. The banks took the houses from the people, sold them again, and got the money twice. He could have given the money to the people, and the people would have still been in the houses. But that's not the way it works, because that ain't who Barack Obama worked for. He worked for the big banks. But he sure looked good. He was a handsome black guy with a beautiful wife and beautiful kids, and all of us as black people could feel good. It's like peeing yourself in a dark suit. You get a good feeling, but nobody really notices. That's what it was with Barack Obama. And afterwards, we can all, but if you look, I don't know if you remember this, literally, his buddy skipped something or other. The cops came and wouldn't let the guy in, a white cop that came. They wouldn't let the guy in his own house. They took him away and they arrested him because he was a black man in a nice neighborhood. What did Barack Obama do? He brought the cop to the White House and had a beer with him. I mean, what kind of message is that to the cop? Hey, if you want to come meet the president, just go arrest a black man for nothing. And he actually, when I look at the Obama, I could criticize him forever. Black folks will get mad at me. How dare you criticize Barack Obama? He was president. All right, I'll give you that. He looked good. We felt good. But historically speaking, has our material reality gotten any better? No, it hasn't. All we got is rhetoric. We got a good feeling. But that's all we seem to ever get is a good feeling. Kamala Harris, they ran her. She lost. I knew she was going to lose. Sadly, you got a lot of people still think that she was going to win. What did I say a week before? She's going to lose. She's going to get blown out. Why would they put such a terrible candidate up? But they put her up and she got blown out. Now Trump's in. They're going to fire a bunch of employees, replace them with artificial intelligence. They were going to do that anyway. And now that's coming, and we always get the shaft. I don't care what happens. Every 4 years, the working man gets the shaft. That's what this. But we'll fight amongst each other and blame each other. So look, if you want to get in touch with me, at Garland Nixon at Garland N on Telegram, Garland.Nixon on Instagram, Garland Nixon on Facebook. Email me. It's Garland N, my first name and the first letter of my last name, GarlandN@gmail.com. Follow me on YouTube. I got a lot of my people from my YouTube channel to follow that. I want to thank my main man, Kalia, for doing a fantastic job. And I want to thank everybody the last couple of weeks who donated. You all came through for WPFW. You donated. You got the numbers up high. And, you know, I really appreciate the people that support this show. They really come through for WPFW, 89.3 FM. I think we got some house music for you, Kalia. Let's make it happen.